Fine. So last week, we, for anyone who wants, we're starting now. So last week we dealt with the question of whether there is a biblical mitzvah to say Shema at all. As we saw, the Rambam clearly thinks there is. However, in the Gemara, this is unclear. Tosfot thinks that Kriyat Shema is completely derabanan. We saw the possibility that there is an obligation to say something, to learn Torah, during, you know, in the morning and at night. But what you say is completely of rabbinic nature. And we noted that at some level this may be the Machloket Bavli Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi understands Kriyat Shema consistently as Shinun, as learning Torah. With certain nafgemina from it, such as how do you understand the exemption of Osek b'mitzvah patra ben ha-mitzvah, someone who's, in this case, Osek b'talmud Torah, someone who's teaching Torah, why does he not have to stop for Kriyat Shema if it's Torato Mnato? The Yerushalmi says because he's learning. Zeshinun v'zeshinun. Another nafgemina which we didn't deal with, but I'll throw it out now, is the question of why women are exempt from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Where, according to the Yerushalmi, the reason is, well, they're patur from Talmud Torah. And if they're patur from Talmud Torah, so they're patur from Kriyat Shema, because it's just a kium of Talmud Torah, as opposed to the Bavli, that assumes that it's because it's a mitzvah asei shahazman grama, because it's a time-bound positive commandment, and women are exempt from those. But we noted that even if it's derabanan, that means that biblically you just have to learn something, but it doesn't seem to be random, because in the Yerushalmi, you already get the notion that the reason you read Parashat Kriyat Shema is because it includes the Aseret HaDibrot, it has allusions to the Aseret HaDibrot, and therefore it's unique. And of course, why don't you just read the Aseret HaDibrot then? That's the continuation when the Gemara says, originally they did do that, but they had to stop because the Minim, the whatever various heretical groups are we're dealing with there, the early Christians, the who knows what else, right? There were a lot of them floating around. They gave too much emphasis on the Aseret HaDibrot, implying that these were the only things that were commanded, or something like that, and therefore you couldn't actually read them, so an allusion had to suffice. Or, as others point out, Chazal conceptualize Kriyat Shema as Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, and therefore, if you're already going to pick psukim that you should say, it should be psukim that relate to Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim. So basically, we have those three positions, right? Completely derabanan, but for good reason, we chose these psukim. D'oraita to actually say these specific psukim, or d'oraita to say something, but derabanan choose what? And again, like we said with the derabanan, there might be good reason for this. Assuming that we paskin that Kriyat Shema itself is d'oraita, what counts as Kriyat Shema? What is this thing called Kriyat Shema? Kriyat Shema, as we know, is divided. There's the first paragraph, which is Shema through Ve'ahavta. Then there's the second, which is Vayayim Shema, and the third, which is Vayomer. Which, if any of these, are biblical. Yes, Ezra. Potentially, right? Potentially. Now, Ezra, I think, was the one who brought up last week that the best place to look for if it's d'oraita, how much of it is d'oraita, is the sugya about kavana, right? Which is how far do you have to have intent, because that will highlight the possible distinctions within Kriyat Shema itself. I forgot to bring Roy Lamb's book again. It's okay, we don't actually need it today, but I wanted to show it to you. But okay, fine. Yes. So the right Chazal clearly focuses on the third paragraph being more about Zeich L'Yetziat Mitzrayim. So good. So we'll have to see distinctions within the paragraphs, right? There are different Gemara that we'll point to this. So the main Gemara is we were up to number 17. We don't actually have so many sources to go through, so we can read them carefully. The Gemara in Brachot Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph Amud Bet tells the following: Tan Rabbanan V'Hayu Shelo yikra limafreya. First rule, do not read it backwards. Hadvarim al livavecha. Yachol tehe kol haparasha tzricha kavana. You might have thought that the entire Shema requires intent. Talmud lomar ha'ele. These. Ad kan tzricha kavana. Mikan ve'elach ein tzricha kavana divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So, according to Rabbi Eliezer, how much do you need kavana for? Shema and the pasuk v'ahavta. The first two psukim v'ahavta v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nefeshecha b'chol ma'adecha v'ayu ha'dvarim ha'ele, up to that pasuk, these and not others. The pasuk, yeah, presumably this pasuk. Normally we would go by psukim. That's general rule. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Amar le'Rib Yekiva. Yekiva says, Harehu Omer Asher Anochi. And by the way, skip for a moment. Look at Tosfot in 18. Ad kan mitzvad kevana. Ad b'chol me'odech. I mean, to the end of the pasuk. Sheshnei psukim eila midabrim biyichud Hashem ba'avato v'yirato. Because these psukim are the most central. They talk about the love of God, the unification, the belief in the unity of God, and the fear of God. Yes, Ezra. Presumably here it's it's Perush Hamilim, understanding what you're saying. Presumably. Right? But Ezra's correct that Kavana means a lot of different things. Here it seems to mean how much you need to understand. It seems like it, because it seems like that's what it is. But it's not 100% clear, but you're right. Very good. So there are at least 8 or 9 answers to that question in Rishonim. But Ezra is correct. There is a prohibition that the Gemara says in several places that dvarim shebichtav yatai rishayl omro be'alpeh, dvarim shebe'alpeh yatai yachol lomam bichtav. Are the things that are... What? Well, the Gemara says, so why are you allowed to write down the Mishnah? Because they had no choice, so they had to nullify the Torah. Yes, that's one of the sugyot where the Gemara brings it up, Rami, correct. The sugyot and Gittin are one of the places where it's brought up. So everyone says, well, wait a second, if you're not allowed to say psukim by heart, so why are you allowed to say Shema by heart? So there are different answers given. Either you can anything which you know really, really well, so you're not going to make a mistake, so you're allowed to say by heart, and other things you can't. Things which are part of tefillah, maybe you're allowed to say by heart, but other things you can't. Things when you're not being motzi anybody else, so then you're allowed to say by heart. You're only not allowed to say by heart if you're like reading Kriyat Torah on behalf of other people, right? Etc. Right? There's many, many answers in the Rishon. The Beit Yosef goes through many of them. Yeah. I mean, most of Torah reading is derabbanan, so right. So you got to figure that out. The possible exception of like Zachor or Para or something. Okay, that's Rabbi Eliezer. Amar le Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, "Hareyu Omer Asher Nochi Mitzavcha Yom Al Levavecha." Mikan Atalamet Shikala Parasha Kula Tzricha Kavana. He says no. It says that these things shall be on your heart, which implies that the whole Perek should be on your heart, so you need kavana for the whole first paragraph. And Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Ki Rabbi Akiva. Rabba Paskins in the name of Rabbi Yochanan like Rabbi Akiva. Ikedmatini La Aha. Some have the same tradition on the following. Ditanya the Brita says Hakoreit Shema Tzarich Shechavenet Libo. When you say Shema, you must have intent. Rabbi Acha Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So Rabbi Acha says, as long as you had, in the name of Yehuda, as long as you had kavanah in the first paragraph, you don't have to have more. So Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Kerbi Acha, Shamra Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. So here again, Rabbi Bar Chana says this is the halacha, the first paragraph. Tanya Idach, another Braita. V'hayu, Shelo Yikra L'mafreya, you can't read backwards. Alev Avcha, Rabbi Zitra Omer Ad Kan Mitzvat, Kavana, until Alev Avcha, I mean the first two psukim of Avta, you need Kavana. Mikan V'elach, Mitzvat Kriya, until then on, you only have to read. Rabbi Yoshi Omer, Ad Kan Mitzvat Kavana, until, Mitzvat Kriya, until here you have to read. Mikan V'elach, Mitzvat Kavana. Where it says, what do you mean? You have to read the beginning and not the, and then have kavana. What does that mean? Ma'ishna mikan ve'ilach, mitzvat kriya, dechtiv ledaber bam. Because the latter half says ledaber, which implies speaking. Achanami aktiviti bar tabam. So Gemara says, reject what we just said. Achigamar, this is what it means. Ad kan mitzvat kavana ukriya. The first few psukim need kavana, and you have to read it. Mikan ve'ilach, kriya ve'lo kavana. After that, you only have to read, you don't need kavana. Umaishna ad kan mitzvat kavana ukriya. Why do the earlier psukim require intent and reading? Dichtiv alev avecha, because it says in your heart, vidibartabam, and you'll speak them. So kavana in your heart, speak with your mouth. Hatam nami aktiv alev avchem, it doesn't also there on your hearts, lidaber bam. Sahumi boile lichedervi yitzchak, de amar visamtem et verai ele. There it's just telling you that you need a place that's fill in by your heart, but not that you need to have kavana. Amar mar, Rabbi Yoshi Omer, ad kan mitzvat kriya, mikan veilech mitzvat kavana. Maishna mikan veilech mitzvat kavana, mishum dechtiv alev avchem, hachana miaktiv alev avecha. So achik amar, ad kan mitzvat kriya u kavana, until here you need kavana and kriya. Mikan veilech kavana below kriya, umaishna ad kan mitzvat kriya vechavana, dechtiv alev avecha vedibar tabam. Hadan nami aktiv alev avchem ledabar bam. He said, maybe the one in the second paragraph isn't talking about Shema, it's talking about learning Torah. And this is what it's telling you, Agmiru Banaichu Torah, Kihechi Dilagar Sabahu. Teach them Torah so that they will talk about it and learn it. Tana Rabbanan, third real position. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Ad Kan Srichad Kavanan Alev De Rabbi Meir. Meir says, only the first Pasuk. Amar Rava halacha ke Rabbi Meir, and Rava sides with Rabbi Meir. Amar Rev Ila birei dirav Shmuel bar Marta mishmei dirav. Amar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad v'ne'enas b'sheina. One implication of this is that if you say Shema and fall asleep, yatsa, you're done, you fulfilled it. Amar Le Rav Nachman l'daru avdei b'psuka kama tzaron. Therefore, Nachman used to tell Daru Avda that if someone falls asleep and he hasn't yet said the first pasuk of Shema, wake him up. Tvei, after that, lo tzaron, let him sleep. Let him sleep. Rami's like, aha, I wish I knew this Gemara earlier. This is like the most high school Gemara, Shiva Gemara ever. Aha, he said the first pasuk, now you can't wake him up anymore. Let him sleep in. There's halacha and there's yeshiva rules. Okay, let's what? Yes. Amar le Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef read the Rava, Avucha evi avid, and what would he do? So he says that's indeed how he practiced. Amar le, bipsuka kama avim mikamitzara nafshe, tvelo amitzara nafshe. Okay, so far, if you looked at this Gemara about Kavana, we have one position that you have to have Kavana in, just the first pasuk, meaning Shema. Another position that says Shema and the first two psukim v'ahavta. Another position that says the whole first paragraph. And then the Gemara plays with why might the second paragraph be different. Do you have to reinterpret Alev Levecha, Alev Avam, etc. For Kavana. What? First pasuk, first two psukim of Avta, the first paragraph.
So it's not that the entire, so you're saying
that the entire, okay, good. So now let's bring it to our question. So what exactly is the Gemara arguing about? So one possibility is that the Gemara is arguing about what is Doraita, right? Is it just the first pasuk? Is it the first pasuk and the first two of Avta? Is it all of Avta? Is it maybe Vahaya as well? That's one possibility. But there's another possibility, which is It's not. What evidence could you adduce from this Gemara that the issue here is purely kavana, not mitzvah? No, come on. What does the Gemara say? Ad kan mitzvat kavana, mikan ve'ilach, mitzvat kriya. Right? Right? The Gemara itself distinguishes between the mitzvah of reading and mitzvah of kavana. So you could have said, what that means is, whatever's daraita, you need kavana, and therefore those are equivalent. You could say, no. Certain things need kavana, and certain things don't, but all of it is biblical. And within that context, so what's in play? Right? The first pasuk? The first few psukim, the first paragraph, or maybe even the second paragraph, but without kavana. Right, those are all in play is the mitzvah d'oraita. What is never mentioned here is the mitzvah d'oraita of Kriyat Shema, the third paragraph. Right, that's never brought up because the Gemara assumes that what's the main mitzvah of that? Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Very good. We're going to see who, nevertheless, is going to see that it's part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. The Rambam, and we're going to have to understand the Rambam. But let's hold off for a minute. Yes, Ezra. So that presumes to be about biblical, right? Very good. So Ezra picks up on what in this Gemara might indicate that this is not just about Kavana, it's about what's biblical, is that end of the Gemara, is the waking up thing. Because you could say, look, I wake you up for anything that's biblical. And if it's rabbinic, you're already asleep, I don't have to wake you up, right? So that type of thing leads you to a possibility that this isn't just about Kavana, it might also be about how obligated are you in saying it. Very good. So this is the Gemara that the Rishonim are really playing with. So look at the Beit Yosef. The Beit Yosef, I gave it to you instead of Rabbeinu Yonah himself just because it's shorter and, you know, I wanted to make sure we got through it. The Beit Yosef says, V'katav ha-Rav Rabbeinu Yonah, number 19. Divrei Amatzel Lememra. D'mehocha shaminan d'miperek Rishon ve'elach eino ela midirabanan. Dem ita dehumin haTorah havi lelemechush delo lishavu arai lekol aprakim deich dechashin beperek rishon. So from this analysis, we learn that the first paragraph is biblical. Maybe od rayot ledavar mitoch manjer b'siman zen yireshe pasuk rishon bilvadavi doraita. But Beit Yosef himself says, "What does it sound like here? That which one's doraita?" Only first pasuk umashech miru beperik rishon yod bishar prakim imneishu ikar kabbalat ol malchut shamayim, and the rest of it we're machmir on. Why? Because it may not be the mitzvah d'oraita, but thematically it integrates in kabbalat ol malchut shamayim. So you have possibility one is that shma, what's its essence? Shma is first pasuk. Possibility two is first perek, and the Beit Yosef's qualification is maybe the only one that's d'oraita is the first pasuk, but the first perek thematically integrates into it. So even though it's not technically part of the mitzvah d'oraita, it's a super d'rabanan because it's a thematic extension. According to all of these, right? For them, what is the essence of Shema? If you ask me, what is the biblical essence of Shema? According to probably both Rabbeinu Yonah. Right, both positions that the Beit Yosef quotes, Rabbeinu Yonah. What is he saying? What's the essence? If I ask you, boil down Shema for me, what is it? It's Kabbalah Malchut Shemayim, right? Accepting God. And then there are two ways of saying that. Either the first pasuk is sufficient, because as long as you declare your allegiance to God, that's enough. Or you have to say the whole first paragraph, flesh that out a little bit. Love of God, fear of God, all that's part of it. Or biblically, it's enough to say the first pasuk, but rabbinically, it's important to expand that. But fundamentally, according to both versions of this, if you ask me what is the essence, if I have to boil down the essence of what are we doing in Shema, it's Kabbalat Malchut Shamayim. It's accepting the yoke of God, and maybe slightly more expansive, the yoke of God with fear of God and love of God, etc. Okay? So, that's possibility one. Who explicitly also takes the position that it's only the first pasuk? The Rashba, in number 20. Midika amar stam chozer v'korei. Mashman chol parshiotehu korei. In certain cases, we tell you have to go back to all of Shema, but nevertheless, af al pi she'ein d'oraita ella pasuk rishon. The only biblical thing is first pasuk. Who endorses the first paragraph, Shita? A very, very weird Rashi. Rashi, at the beginning of the first daf of Shas. So, first daf of Shas, what does it talk about? What time you can start saying Kriyat Shema. And according to everybody, when can you start saying Shema? At some sort of nightfall. Agreed? Many different positions of what nightfall is, but night. What was the minhag in Europe? When did they daven Maariv with Shema? A lot earlier, we know this. What? Way before Tzeis. In fact, in many places, before Tzeis, before Shkia, before Plag, right? How do we know this? Because the first Shuvah in the Truman HaDeshen says that in his time, people, Friday night, would daven so early, they would daven 3 or 4 hours before nightfall, eat their meal, daven, eat their meal, and go for a walk after they finish their meal, before dark, around the river, around the Danube River, right? What? No. But everybody is saying this. Rashi, Tosfot, everyone is saying that the reality in their time is that people davened early. Definitely Friday night, and for many people even during the week. Good. So, Rami, so what's the problem that everybody had? So they said, look, I get maybe Shmona Esrei I could defend, but Shema? That's going to help you for Shema? Shema, Shmona Esrei, maybe, but Shema. So Rashi there says something shocking, and Rashi says, no problem. Very good. Rashi says in 21, Ulefichach chovah aleinu lekrotami shetechshach. Because you daven so many hours before nightfall, you can't fulfill your mitzvah of Shema. You have to repeat Shema. But not all three paragraphs. All you got to repeat is the first paragraph. That you didn't read the rest. You didn't read the rest Bishat Chiyuv. It was too early. He says, you weren't Yotze because it was too early.
He's saying that it is the first
parasha. It sounds like he says the whole parasha. Right? Meaning, he says, parasha rishonasha adam korea mitato yatsa. It sounds like that's what he needs you to say. You're right. You could say less, but it doesn't sound that way. Well, yes, but he doesn't say Pasuk Rishon, he says Parsha Rishonah. You're right, you could say that what he means is within the first Parsha, you included the first Pasuk, and that's all that mattered. It doesn't sound that way. Right? Because it sounds like what he says is, right, it sounds like what he's saying is, what? Yeah, it sounds like he's saying the first one, and again, it's not like that's an impossible Shita. We know that that is in fact a, right, we know that is in fact a Shita in Rishonim. It's not a crazy position. But you see, you have the Rajba. Now, conceptually, do you understand the position that it's just the first Pasuk? Where it would come from?
Yeah.
Yes. Right? It's about Kabbalat HaMalchut Shamayim. And in the Gemara, that seems to reflect an actual position. They only need Kavanah to the end of the first paragraph. If I said that the mitzvah is the first Pasuk and the first paragraph, do you understand where that comes from?
Yes.
Yes, because, very good. Now, what about, what other positions could you find plausible, would you find plausible? First two would be a plausible shita. Very good. Well, I don't know why I didn't put a shita that says that, so give me a second and I will read it inside so you believe me. What?
You don't need the actual
We already saw that. We said, assuming any of it's d'oraita. Remember last week, I already said that it might be none of it's d'oraita. You just need to say something. Right? Assuming you have to say anything in specific. Right? Last week, I already talked about this. Right? That's what I said. Is that some should just say, no, it's d'oraita to say something, anything. Right? You're right. But we did that. Now, again, I really tried to give you the, right, the, one second. Okay. Now the okay. So we'll see that most shitot, guys, most shitot do not think that a possibility is the first two paragraphs. But the Pri Chadash, as we'll see, that's how he reads the Rambam. But let's see if that's likely. So let's read the Rambam. The Rambam in 22 writes, Pa'amim b'chol yom, twice a day, Karin kriyat shema b'erev v'boker, Shneimar b'shach b'chol v'kumecha, B'shach sh'derech b'nei adam shochvin v'zehu layla, U'b'shach sh'derech b'nei adam omdin v'zehu yom. U'mahu kore, what does he say? What? Yes. Halacha bet. Umahu kore. What do you read? Shlosha parshiot. Three paragraphs. Elohein. Shema, b'hayem shemoma uvayomer. Umakdimin likrod parshat shema b'bnei sheyish chod Hashem. You say shema first, because it talks about the unity of God. Vavato and his love. V'talmudo and learning. Shu ikar agadol shakol taluibo. Which is the essence of everything. Acharea b'hayem shemo sheyish batziv. Luyal zechirat shar kol ha-mitzvot. Then the second paragraph, which is about accepting mitzvot, ba'achar kach parshat tzitzit shegam hi yish bat tzivui zechirat kol mitzvot. And the third paragraph, which also talks about remembering all the mitzvot. Halacha gimel, aval bi she'ein mitzvah tzitzit noheget balayla, karin oto balayla. Even though tzitzit doesn't apply at night, you read it at night, b'mnei she'ish bazikaron yitzo mitzrayim. Because you remember yitzo mitzrayim. And it's a mitzvah to remember to mention Mitzrayim day and night. Shneimar lamantis korat yom tzeit chamer Mitzrayim going mechayecha. Ukriat shalosh parshiot elu al seder zehi and nikrat kriat shema. And reading these paragraphs is shema. So the Pri Chadash looks at this Gemara, the Rambam, and says the Rambam must mean that only the first two paragraphs of shema are d'oraita. Under Kriyat Shema, the third paragraph he means is d'oraita because of Mitzvah Mitzrayim. So it is biblical, but not because it's part of Shema. It just happens to be part of Shema. Like, but it's not the biblical Mitzvah Shema. That's the Pri Chadash reads the Rambam. Correct. Right. So what we have so far is we have the Rajba Chochmei Svar who thinks the first pasuk, Rashi who thinks the first perek. We have the Pri Chadash who looks at the Rambam and says he can't mean what he sounds like he means, which is that all three are d'oraita because of Shema. So maybe what he means is all three are d'oraita, but two of them are because of Shema, and one of them is because of Tzitzit. It's because of Mitzrayim. Right? That's how the Pri Chadash reads the Rambam. Now, what's the logic according to the Pri Chadash? That if I asked you, what is the essence of Shema? What is it? Why? Look at the Rambam. Again, the reason I'm doing this halachic thing is like I want you to get into the conceptual headspace. What is Shema? What is its purpose? So according to the Pri Chadash, it's according to both the Shita, that's the first pasuk and the first paragraph. What's the ikur? What's the main focus of what are you doing in Shema? Accepting God. The essence of God.
Wait, sorry, is that different from
Olam HaShemayim? No,
Olam HaShemayim. Okay, fine. So
what's, right? And that's either the first pasuk or the first perek. Okay. If you conceptualize it as the first two prakim, why would you do that? And mitzvot, that's what he says, right? The Rambam says mitzvot. Meaning that the Shema isn't just accepting God in theory, it's also
accepting God.
the details. It's God and what he told us to do. Essentially, if I boil down paragraph 1 and 2.
God and like not given.
Correct, right? Meaning, is it just the theological component, which is paragraph 1? Right? Maybe that's another way of putting it. Is it, is Kriyat is its essence, biblical essence, the theological dogma behind religion, i.e. Perek, Pasuk or Perek 1? Is it dogma plus the basic practice, which is 1 and 2? Right? And that's what the Prichadash thinks is plausible. What's the problem? What does the Rambam sound like he says? If you read the Rambam carefully, that not only are all three biblical, but this distinction that the Prichadash says, which is, yes, they're all biblical, but 1 and 2 are Kriyat Shema, and Perek 3 is an excuse for you to talk about Egypt, right? That's not what the Rambam sounds like. What does the Rambam sound like? Again, I'll read you his lines. Ukriat shalosh parshiot elu al seder zeh. The reading of these three paragraphs in this order, zehi nikrei kriyat shema. That is shema. So how the Prichadash looked at that and said, what he really means is one and two are daraita and the third is daraita for a totally different reason, but not about shema. How he read the words, reading all three of these are kriyat shema on a biblical level. How he read that, I don't know. But what drove him? What drove him to say what he said? Because it's weird. The Gemara seemed to say the first two paragraphs and the third is just about Mitzrayim. Right? So how could the Rambam think that it's not true? Yes, very good. So who wants to, and this is the last source that I want to see with you. If you wanted to conceptually justify the simple pshat in the Rambam, what would you have to be mechadesh and what would that tell us about Kriyat Shema? Ezra, since you had your hand up. Go.
What?
No, tell me. What? Outside. Right, if you wanted to justify the Rambam's extreme formulation, again, we have two lumdish / philosophical positions. Right, one is that Shema at its core is about accepting God, the theological, which is either the first pasuk or paragraph. Right, maybe the theology plus certain basic theological related mitzvah, like loving God or something like that. It includes practice, which is what we call the second paragraph, which is the Prichadash in the Rambam. But the Rambam's simple pshat is no. Shema, even at its biblical level, is all three paragraphs. So, you look at it and you say, but wait a second, don't we know that the only reason you say the third paragraph is you see it Mitzrayim? How can he call that Shema? So you could do that, except that the Rambam himself says, why do you do it? Because Mitzvah lahazkir yitziat Mitzrayim. Right, meaning the problem is not only just the Rambam seems to admit that. Right, what does he admit? He admits that the issue here is Yitzhak Mitzrayim. He says that's why you do it. Now, Ezra's saying, no, maybe that's part of the story. Yeah.
It says that, why do you still say it at night? Because you don't need to just at night is implying, you're saying that the main part of my.
Correct. Prayer. Part of what he says, well, no, it's. The question, remember we did this in Shir. We did this in Shir. When he says, you might have thought you're not chayav to say the third paragraph at night because it's about tzitzit, he could be saying, so yes, the ikar is tzitzit, but you say it at night because it has a secondary thing that it's yitzhak Mitzrayim, or no. You might have thought that it's about tzitzit, kamash malan, that the real reason you're saying it is Yitzhak Mitzrayim. It's not clear how much of a rejection it is.
But the way you phrase it, you may have thought, even though they're...
Well, it's not... No, I mean, you clearly might have thought it's because of tzitzit. The question is what the conclusion is, not the Havamina. What? So, again, you're reading like Ezra. It could go both ways. I agree. It could be. It could be. Right? It could be. Now, in the Gemara, it doesn't sound that way, but you're right. You could read it either way. So, many people have attempted to answer this. I gave you just two answers that the Rav quotes from Reb Chaim, but both of them, not only do they weigh in on the Lamdos, but they weigh in on the philosophical question, what is this thing called Shema? Okay, so I gave you the last source here. It's from Shiur Mosecher Abba Mari. For those who don't know, this is, the blue books in the front, so there's a series of them, but two of them are Shiur Mosecher Abba Mari. Every year, Rabbi Soloveitchik used to give a Yartzeit Shir, which is like a 3 or 4 hour Shir with thousands of people in YU for his father, and he published those It was published, right? Or him and his Talmid didn't publish them. What?
He published them.
He didn't, actually. It's Rav Lichtenstein's notes of the Rav Shirim. They published it together. But that's a pretty good lineup, as things go. Rav Lichtenstein together with the Rav, and I think and Rav Kahn was involved. So they published it. So he writes, Shamati mipi Abba Mari b'shem Rabbeinu Agadol. I heard from my father in the name of our great rabbi. Who's our great rabbi? Reb Chaim. I heard from my father in the name of his father, i.e. Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Mitoch psak harambam. Shekaval halakha ki maskirim mitziat mitzrayim balaylot mishum ribuya dikol. Bokad vala halakha shniya. So first point is that the fact that the Rambam, remember this, we read this on Seder night, that kol either meant that you say Yitziyah Mitzrayim at night or Yimod HaMashiach, right? So he says, first point is that the fact that the Rambam says you say Shema at night, Bokad V'la Halach HaShniyah, She'ein Zichit Mitzrayim L'Ono HaMashiach, implies that he doesn't think we'll talk about it in the time of Mashiach. D'Haba HaTalya, Halach HaZu, HaMafkiyah Chova Mitzvah Zob Yimod HaMashiach, Mechadesh HaGein Mitzvah HaAskara, No, I get Lidorot El Lashah. And he said, maybe that's why the Rambam doesn't count it as a separate mitzvah, because the Rambam only counts mitzvah which are Lidorot, which are forever. Right? The Reb Chaim is dealing with a different question. Reb Chaim is asking, why doesn't the Rambam count the mitzvah Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim as its own mitzvah? So answer one is, because he thinks it's not relevant Bimara Mashiach, because he paskins you said at night, which means that Kol teaches you say Yetziat Mitzrayim at night and not Mona Mashiach, and if it's not forever, it's not a mitzvah. Okay. But possibility two is what I want to focus on, because that's the one that speaks to our question. Odomar Adoni Avi Zikni. Right? My grandfather, my master. Kichol mitzvat zechirat Yitzrayim eino meaveh kiyum chova b'fine atzmo. You've got it backwards. You thought that saying the third paragraph was only about Mitzrayim. No, it's the other way around. It's that say talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim integrates into Kriyat Shema. Meaning it's not an independent mitzvah. It's not the first, like the Pri Chadash, that the first two paragraphs are obligations because of Shema, and the third paragraph is about Mitzrayim. It's the other way around. Yetziat Mitzrayim conceptually integrates into Kriyat Shema. How and why? Well, how? Kiim, she is sod mehuta, he kiyum kabbalat o malchut shamayim. Because he says, remembering Mitzrayim isn't its own mitzvah. What is it? It's a means by which we accept God. Lefichach nir'eh, ki ein zichiyat yitziyah Mitzrayim yaveh kiyum b'fnei atzmo. It's not its own obligation, v'chalot mitzvah miyuchedet. Ela mitztarefet l'chadek kiyuma im kabbalat o malchut shamayim shebekriyat shema. V'ikarah shel mitzvah zo hu ki kabbalat o malchut shamayim etkayemet al yidei askar yitzim etram gulat Yisrael mibeit avadim. And he says, Reb Chaim says, because there's a third part to accepting God. And what is that? Accepting the historical backdrop to our relationship with God. What might give Reb Chaim that hint? Give me a bigger hint than that. Bigger hint that part of... Giving me a bigger hint. How? What else might hint to Reb Chaim that part of what it means to accept God is to accept the historical backstory of our relationship with God? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otzeiticha Meretz Yisrael Beit Avadim. That's literally how God introduces himself. So much so that the smog, right, the Rambam says the first mitzvah is to believe in God. What does the smog say? The first mitzvah is to remember, to believe that God is the same God who took you out of Egypt. That's the mitzvah. Not to believe in God, but to believe that the God we're talking about is the one who took you out of Egypt. What? For sure. But believing in God is a prerequisite. You can't command that for the smog. What you can command is, once you believe in God, believe in the historical background of your relationship with Him. And the Smach goes farther. That part of it is that you also have to believe that the same God who took you out of Egypt has the ability and will redeem you in the future. That's all part of the same mitzvah. So, what I think is important here, not just lumdishly, is we saw one formulation that said Shema formally is either the first pasuk or the first perek. But what was the philosophical point that emerged from that? That Shema fundamentally is about accepting the theological dogmas of God, loving Him, etc. Possibility two for the Pri Chadash is Shema is first two paragraphs. Why? It's about accepting God and accepting the commitments that come with that acceptance. But Reb Chaim argues for the Rambam is no. You've got it backwards. You thought that the first two are Shema and the third is Zeich Yetzia Mitzrayim? It's a different mitzvah? No. Zeich Yetzia Mitzrayim is part of Shema because there are three parts to accepting God. There's accepting the theological broad statements, love Him, believe in Him, He's one. There's believe that that carries with it commitments. And there's believing that these theological beliefs and the commitments don't just come from a theoretical God who created the world, but from a God with whom we have a prior relationship, and that's why we're committing to this. And therefore, Chaim's Machadish, according to the Rambam, it's not that there's two prakim which are Shema, and one which is Yitzhiya Mitzrayim. It's no. The Rambam doesn't even bother counting a separate mitzvah, Zichar Yitzhiya Mitzrayim, because Yitzhiya Mitzrayim is a detail in the mitzvah of Shema. Of Kabbalah al Malchut Shamayim, the historical component of Shema is itself part of Kabbalah al Malchut Shamayim. And therefore, the reason I wanted to do this is because, first of all, it's lumdishly fascinating. But for our purposes, we're trying to understand not just the lumdus behind it, but what is Shema? What you see is that from the lumdus, we really got, I would say, four perspectives. The position we saw last week that nothing is d'oraisa. It's all learned Torah. And what you say is completely derabanan, is saying that, look, Shema is not special. It's just learning Torah. And learning Torah is supposed to lead you to Kabbalah Malachot Shemaim. And we pick these because they talk about accepting God and Sarah Dibra. But fundamentally, the mitzvah is to engage in Torah, and that's part of your acceptance. Yeah. So only rabbinically, right? That was that position. The derabanan, you could have said anything. Derabanan, we tell you these because they have added benefit. No, you do not have to say Shema in Hebrew. You're allowed to say it in any language as long as it's a perfect translation.
Is that possible?
No, which is why it's very hard, which is why you might have to practically say it in Shema. But in theory, if you get a perfect translation, you'd be allowed to do that.
So when they say perfect translation...
Perfect. Perfect.
What does that mean?
Perfect. Must be perfect. No paraphrasing. No guessing. Perfect.
I mean...
Perfect.
With all the...
Like, not like... And you should love God and stuff. None of that, right? No, perfect, perfect, perfect. Perfect. Rami, the full sugya you can do when you get to the seventh parak of Sota and Bikias. You can ask Roy Sklar that he should give the shir on what does it mean to translate perfectly, because that's the topic. The whole seventh parak is what things must be done in the original, and what things can be done in translation, and what is translation. So ask Roy Sklar, he can give it as his shir on... What? Probably. Perfect.
Will you say, which parts of it need to...
Actually, ooh, we have 2 minutes. Okay, let me finish up my thoughts. So we have, therefore, that model. Then we have the model of first pasuk or first paragraph, which, if I had to boil it down, they believe that the essence of Shema is the theological big statements. Pri Chadash, that's the first two things. No, the essence of Shema is the theological backdrop plus the details, the commitments. And Reb Chaim is suggesting, going to the Rambam, it's more than that. It's all three paragraphs, because it's the accepting of the theology, it's the acceptance of the practice that comes with it, and the belief, the acceptance of the belief in the history that provides the backdrop to this relationship and its theology and mitzvot. Right? And therefore, I think the halachic question really does point to the major questions of what is the essence, if I had to boil down Shema. Now, obviously, in the end of the day, the fact that everyone agrees that Kavana is only, right, in the first part, right, in Shema, does point to a uniqueness of Kabbalah and Malchut Shamayim, but still, understanding that there's this real machloket of how much of it gets integrated into the biblical mitzvah does seem to push for different conceptualizations as to what exactly it is we're trying to accomplish with Shema. Okay, that's my halachic intro of 2 weeks as to what is this thing we call Shema. Obviously, we could go on a lot of halachic issues and say, what does night mean? What does morning mean? But my goal this year is not to do all the halachot of Shema. It's to understand Shema, these two introductions of how much, right, is it biblical at all, and if so, how much, I thought was necessary to getting to the essence. So next week, I really want to start on the words. If we have time, I want to do more halacha later, we can. But I want to understand the words. As Yosef knows, last year with Shemoneh Esrei, a lot of the work was trying to figure out what psukim were the brachot based on. Obviously, that's not a challenge in Shema. The psukim that they're based on are the psukim we read. That's not a challenge. But I do want to try to understand it. We'll see how many weeks we spend on it. I'm happy to go as slowly or as quickly as you would like. I will draw heavily, though not exclusively, on Rabbi Lamb's excellent book, which I know that Rabbi Schimmel quoted a little bit of in the reader, but it's a whole book just in the first paragraph of Shema, and the theological issues there. There's a tremendous amount of material to talk about, so we'll start with that next week. Okay? Ezra, you wanted the last word? What was your question? Or you're good?
I'm good.
You're good. Okay, good.